Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
There you go, the TJ Oshie retirement celebration winding down on the Georgetown waterfront with Oshie chants from the fans in attendance, a beloved DC sports athlete. And if you didn't know why, I think you got a good glimpse into it today. Yep. He is real. He is authentic, wears his emotions on his sleeve, couldn't get through his speech. Now, each sentence, it seemed like he had to stop as he was overcome with emotion, and now they play his goal song, Country Roads, as they present a $10,000 check to him. Of course, his father, known as Coach, had Alzheimer's and passed from complications from the disease. Mm-hmm. Now his wife, Lauren, is joining him on stage with their children. They've got four young ones up there celebrating and giving dad hugs.
Just awesome. I mean, as you said, he's choking up, thinking like the assistant trainer from 14 years ago in St. Louis. You know what I mean? Like, the guy gets it. I mean, some dudes sort of skate through. Nothing wrong with it. Skate through is a bad pun. But, like, you know, go through their careers, and everybody's there to sort of help their hockey out, and whether they're grateful or not, whatever. That's the opposite. TJ Oshie. Every act of kindness, every act of service meant something to him. Someone that had climbed so hard, you know, gone through so much just to be able to get on the ice. So we sort of got that, I think. And I always had the right level of appreciation. And that comes through. Whether we can quantify that as fans or not, Jeeps, it's something that resonates with us as people that watch these sports. Like the entitled athlete is off-putting to a lot of us, right? Where you get paid so much money, please have some joy. Please, you know, be grateful and understand that it's such a privilege to be able to do it. And this is a guy that's playing a kid's game and knows it.
I used to say this about Brett Favre all the time. I actually think Brett Favre's one of the most overrated players ever. It's not personal. I just turn the ball over a lot. It wasn't as accurate as a lot of guys were, make terrible decisions. And you look at his career numbers. I get it. I get why people thought he was really good. He was at times. He's an MVP player. But in the grand scheme of quarterback play, I always thought he was overrated. But here's what I realized as I got a little bit older, as he was getting older in his career. He is beloved because the way he played resonated with people.
Yeah.
He had fun. That, to me, is the lesson. That is, I think, the takeaway from TJ Oshie's career. Everything that he did, he smiled, he laughed, he enjoyed. Whether it was before you walk out on the ice, him and Tom Wilson's routine where they're whacking each other in the butt, or something in the dressing room, or we would get a little capsule into the Capitals behind-the-scenes operation, any of the productions that the team had done and put out on social media with any kind of access, Hard Knock style. You saw that Oshie was the straw that kind of stirred that drink. But the Favre comp to me is, he'd throw a touchdown, and he'd run 60 yards downfield to go tackle Donald Driver in the end zone. Oshie's that guy. There are just certain players that operate with the exuberance they had when they were youth sports players. And that resonates with people, and I think it's why you like him so much. Not everybody, as a pro athlete, you can look at them and go, I can picture that kid at 10 years old having fun right now.
Yeah.
That's TJ Oshie.
Yeah. And you know, all the guys, I mean, it depends. We, you know, he and Adam Eaton became buddies, and we got to know Adam Eaton pretty well during his time here in D.C. Eaton shouldn't have been there. He shouldn't have been a major leaguer. A guy that's 5 foot nothing, I mean, Rudy style, right? 5'9", what, 160? Hitting home runs off Justin Verlander in the World Series? Because, of course, he was, right? I mean, dudes like that that had to grind and scratch and claw and overcome and sort of went from, am I sure I really belong in the NHL or Major League Baseball or whatever? And their uniform's always dirty. They're the one diving. They're the one clearing the puck on the penalty kill or making the diving catch against the wall, like Eaton was, playing with like your hair's on fire, hard 90s every time. I mean, there's parallels with those guys, and that resonates with fans because every fan, and maybe not in hockey as much, but everybody played sports. Everybody that liked sports as a grown-up did something as a kid. You know, and all those lessons and all those things and all those things that your coaches value and all the different people were going, you know, hey, you know, give it everything you got. Play hard, play hard, play hard. And when someone would do that on a big, you know, national stage or at the highest levels, that resonates. And fans were in for a treat today. They were able to come. And folks that got to watch TJ Oshie play, it was awesome, man.
TJ Oshie's career high, 33 goals for the Capitals back in 2016-2017, routinely in the mid-20s in goals, even with all of the games missed. But it wasn't really the goals. It wasn't the celebrations, the lighting of the lamp, the offense, the firepower. It was how he played the game.
That's right.
Right? It was the joy with which that he brought to the arena and that fans loved so much. And we're joined now by the man of the hour, TJ Oshie. It is great to see you again, buddy. And thanks so much for hopping on the show. How are you?
Absolutely. Thanks, fellas. I'm better now. That was hard.
That's not easy, right?
That was a tough one, man.
That you were probably dreading that most of the day, in a sense. I mean, just the speech part of it, and because that's hard to get through.
Yeah, no, I've been editing that thing for the last couple of days, and today, this right before we left, was the first time I read it out loud, and I was getting choked up in my office by myself, and so I was like, oh boy,
yeah,
here we go. But I saw Ryan Zimmerman, who him and Backy were all neighbors. We got a little triangle around our preschool, and he's obviously been through it, and I just saw him on the way up here, and he's like, it's so much harder when you got everyone right there and you're looking at him. So,
and everyone's staring at you, right?
I know. Yeah. I know. I do not like to be the center of attention. So much better when it's like Ovi and you're here for Ovi stuff, and then you can do, like, you know, the interviews after, but yeah, when you're on there, it's tough.
I'm sure this is a day, while not one that you look forward to necessarily, that you know is coming inevitably for some period of time. What a fitting venue for it. We're at the Fountain, where you guys celebrated the Cup 7 years ago, and there are thousands of Caps fans out here cheering for you. It's hard to do better than this for a day like today.
No, it is. It's hard to do better than this. And we, I actually reached out to Sergey, our PR guy, who's one of the best in the biz, and I asked him. I was like, hey, how does this work? Should I just put something on social media, or do you want to make a press release? And he's like, no, let's do something great. He's like, you mean a lot to the organization and the city. Let's do something with everyone involved. So he kind of took the reins on this thing. He was asking me some dates, and I was like, well, June 9th is like the day that we went.
So
in the Fountain.
I said, whoever my idea, that's big.
That was my idea. Amazing. I was like, why don't we do it then? I mean, June 7th is such a big day because not only did we win the Cup, I was the best man of a bachelor party that I had planned that started on June 7th. So my best friend's bachelor party started that day. My brother's birthday and my father-in-law's birthday is all June 7th. And so I knew the timeline pretty well. And I was like, hey, I don't want to take anything away from the team on June 7th. Let's maybe do the Fountain. And it worked out.
I think people have such a hard time understanding, right? The on-ice stuff is what we get to see as fans, but you referenced it in your speech and then talking to Joe B and Locker. It's the things that no one ever gets to see with your teammates in the room and those kind of memories. Just how unique an experience is that when you kind of look back on your career, all the guys that you get to know in this really unique thrown together family where you guys see each other more than your actual families a lot of times for months on end.
Yeah, it really is a special thing. And, you know, I can't imagine being in a place where the whole team doesn't love each other and doesn't love the little things like going out for a beer when the plane lands, you know, real quick before dinner, or hanging out in the locker room for longer than your wife would like you to. Like, it's a special place, and you don't get to see it as a fan, but that's where the team comes together. That's where we get close. That's why we have success on the ice. It's really hard to be a good team and a good playoff team when everyone's kind of going their own ways, and there's a click over here, and, you know, sometimes based on like where you're from, you know, there's whatever, Russians over here, Americans, other Europeans, whatever it is, dads, young guys. The best teams that I've been on, and most of the team, almost all of them here, we've all been one. And you just don't get that anywhere else. I don't care if you're playing in your country club's member tournament, or if you're in a tennis club or a book club. It's not like the team. So that's something that I'll always miss. And my most cherished memories is not on the ice. It's in the locker room.
Thought it was fitting you talked about that early July date in 16 when you got traded to the Capitals. And we don't know what that's like. Most people can't relate to that. But there's a closing of the book that we don't think about for you in St. Louis that's really emotional. But, man, if it didn't change your career in so many ways for the better. I mean, what did you know about the organization? Like, what were your thoughts about the Caps as you came here? Because now you'll be synonymous with this team forever.
I think when you're out west, especially in my younger years, you didn't see the East that much. And even to this day, you still don't. I think back then, sometimes they weren't even in town. So I didn't know a lot except for Alex Ovechkin was here and Nicklas Backstrom was here. I think it's out there. I'm not like a big hockey nerd. I'm not watching every game. And that's really all I knew besides a couple other guys. I knew about Johnny playing with him in the Olympics. But other than that, it was hard. I mean, their words, not mine, but you know, I was considered one of the fan favorites in St. Louis. And all we had talked about was, what's the problem? Why can't we beat Chicago? Why can't we beat LA? And then when you're the guy that gets traded, it's like, oh, they think it's me. And so that was a tough pill to swallow. But like I said in my speech, I mean, Mac right away, the excitement in his voice when I talked to him, and then the next couple of days with the fans, with Foz, with Blaine Forsythe, our power play coach, bringing me right in. He's like, I need to show you a couple things.
Wow.
And he's like, you're going to be perfect for this spot. And I was like, yes, I'm not even on the first power play in St. Louis. This is going to be great. And so, you know, in my last year in St. Louis, I felt like I was kind of getting, you know, pushed out a little bit playing time wise and not team wise. The guys were really great to me. I loved them. Fans were amazing. But I was going through a rough time. I really was. My daughter was just born. She was born with gastroschisis. So we were in the NICU for the first 3 weeks of her life. And I was navigating being a new father. And the trade really, it honestly changed my life and really jump-started the last half of my career.
TJ, this has been a real treat, man. It was awesome to watch you. Congrats on getting through it, too, in addition to the next chapter of your life, man. Well earned, my friend.
Thank you so much. It was, yeah. Trust me, I was choked up there. Thank God I had the lemonade with me. That was a tough one.
Delicious lemonade.
Yeah.
Why didn't you drink the lemonade right through your dress shirt?
I should. I fans ask me all the time, and I tell them I'm saving it for cup celebrations only.
Okay.
But now that that's out, who knows?
Well, we had bets on whether you're going to jump in the fountain today. You showed up in the white pants, and
we knew it was gone.
No fountain.
I was. I'm still prepared. It honestly looks refreshing, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
You in the fountain? A story as old as time, man. Yeah. You guys get in the same place. You just start staring at each other. Thank you. Means a lot to get you on for a couple minutes, and congrats, seriously.
Thank you.
And congrats.
You thanks, boys.
TJ Oshie on his day here on your flagship home for Caps Hockey, 106.7 The Fan, stopping by. Very, very kind of him to carve out some time for us. He's going to talk to a few of the TV stations. And then that little barge, that's a party barge tonight.
That's a party barge.
They are getting on that boat, and then they are hitting the waterways tonight. It sounds like if you are invited to that party, you're going to have a hell of a time. I'm guessing that is
so much lemonade.
The group that he talked about with him and Backstrom. I saw a bunch of former Caps are over at the bar already getting a little pregame going. My guess is if Ryan Zimmerman wants the board, he'll be allowed to.
If you are Mr. and then the name of the team,
right,
you get to get on.
Right. Yeah. But what a celebration they threw out here for him today.
So I asked, speaking of Zim, I remember I asked him this when it was his turn to retire and kind of go through all some of these ceremonies and different things. And, you know, would have loved to ask TJ, but he's got a million things to do. He's already gone. But, like, do you get it? Do you get this outpouring? You know what I mean? Like, it's such a hard thing for a guy that's humble and grinds, and all I want to do is, you know, own my next shift to go out there and play, the, you know, one shift at a time and, you know, help the team win. When you play this ultimate team game that is hockey, where the expectation is team, 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 and you're only on the ice for 18, 19, 20 minutes a night as part of a four-line unit, do you get it when you stand out and fans just love you to death? You know, it's and I think he got to feel some of that, that like undying, like incredible support from the throngs of people that are here and, you know, kind of words, as you said, via social and otherwise. Just really, really cool, man. Glad for him.
You know, it's pretty funny, too. You know, he's at this event. It's the whole day is TJ Oshie, right? And he's being walked around now to do some different interviews, including ours. And they're just like walking him right through the crowd. It's just, it's not like he's using back doors or they plotted out some way. No, he's just going through the people. He's just doing a shift.
Obviously. He's
receiving line. Some traffic. He's just dapping people up, walking around. The fountains are going in the background. Pretty sharp.
Yeah, it ain't bad, man.
Beautiful day for a TJ Oshie retirement celebration. The final words of his 10 or so minutes at the mic today were that he was retiring from hockey. And as you'd expect, he went through the entire speech thanking and celebrating the careers of
Everybody. So many other
dignitaries, you know, who meant so much to him, including head coach Spencer Carberry, who won the Jack Adams Award this week. It's been a pretty busy week for a Caps team in the middle of an offseason during the Stanley Cup playoffs right now, as the Cup's being doled out between Florida in the East and Edmonton in the West. But you've got the Jack Adams Award winner, Spencer Carberry, Coach of the Year, and now Oshie announcing his retirement.
And we learned Oshie's idea to do it today by
that?
The fountains. How
pretty
about
impressive.
It? Right?
Very, very cool. Well, it's been awesome out here all day long at the Georgetown waterfront on this special day for TJ Oshie. We're going to hang out and try to catch up with the head coach of the Washington Capitals, Spencer Carberry. I know we've got Linnell Willingham back in studio in D.C., as well. So the fun times are continuing. We're going to try to catch up with Coach Carbs in just a couple of moments, but we'll send it back to our DC studios on 106.7 The Fan. Thank you so much for making this show part of your afternoon. Grant and Danny on The Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last.
Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
TJ Oshie retired this afternoon right in front of our eyes out here at the Georgetown waterfront. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan, as we play his goal song for you on your flagship home for Capitals hockey. Spencer Carberry is a man of the people. He's making his way to us, but he was getting stopped for a lot of pictures and autographs. That's not just any picture, by the way.
Nuh-uh.
That's not just any autograph.
No, no, no.
That is an autograph and a picture with the Jack Adams Award winner.
That's what it looks
like. The
coach
of the year in the National Hockey League. And one of the young coaching stars in the NHL, Spencer Carberry, who joins us now on Grant and Danny Live on 106.7 The Fan. Spencer, you're on the flagship home for the Caps. We appreciate you carving out some time for us.
Absolutely.
What a day this has been for TJ Oshie.
Yeah, unbelievable. Just to hear him talk about his career, his family, all the people that had a positive impact on all the years that he's played, going back to being raised and playing minor hockey, was pretty incredible to listen to.
Yeah, like we were joking, he's getting choked up thinking about the intern who was one on the training staff at St. Louis,
yeah,
15 years ago. You know, just a guy that played with gratitude. I mean,
yeah,
you were around him so much. Speak to that a little bit, where it's a lot of guys, I don't want to say take it for granted because they're great and they're in the NHL, but there seems to be something that comes through in his personality all the time where he's grateful and kind of gets it.
Yeah, and that's where Oshie, the way a coach would describe him is, to me at least, is the total package. The skill and ability on the ice, how hard he competes, how hard he plays, how badly he wants to win, and then he goes and lays his body on the line. And then the other part of it is the off-the-ice stuff, how he is in the locker room, his leadership ability, his gratitude for the training staff, his ability to take a young player and have a subtle talk with them on the ice and share some of his knowledge and what he's been through in his experiences to try to help that young player. So that's, yeah, there's just so many facets of what it means to be a good teammate, a good player, that Oshie checks every box.
What was it like for you the last couple of seasons as you've been not only altering the culture a bit, but you've been ushering in some of the kids and developing the McMichael Protus types, but you're also celebrating the careers and benefiting from the veterans? But Oshie's body was just breaking down on him last year. He just wasn't the same, and this year he couldn't get on the ice. We saw the same with Backstrom. What has that part of it been like for you?
Well, there's the negative part of it of them not being on the ice and not being, you know, you wish they were able to play and impact the game on the ice. But the thing that I look at is the things you just mentioned about those young players, whether it was Pro or Mikey or Marty Faye-Arvey or Rasmus Sandin, they've watched these players and Osh specifically, not only learning from them as an experienced veteran player and all the wisdom he can share, but they watched a guy that was absolutely laying it on the line at the end of his career to grind out every last ounce he could of his career. And that, when you watch that as a young player, you go, I'm not feeling great today. I can find a way to feel,
yeah,
okay. And I will find a way to battle through what I'm going through. When you watch TJ Oshie, who in game 1,000 is hobbling around the locker room and we're not sure he's going to be able to play in Vancouver, but he does everything he can that afternoon so that he can suit up at 7 o'clock. Or you see him in Tampa Bay when he had the non-contact and he couldn't move and he's being helped off the ice. Like, all those moments are lasting for young players to recognize and learn from and go, you know, this is a guy that won a Stanley Cup, and here's why: because of the way that he competed and because of how much he was a warrior. And you learn from that as a young player.
That's Coach Carberry. That's Coach of the Year, Coach Carberry, to you. Thank you very much. What did you know about TJ Oshie before you got the chance to coach him? And then what did you find out?
So I would say that stuff I didn't know all of that part of him, the leadership part, the competitive, the two things that blew me away, I'd seen it, but I didn't really know it until I coached him, is his skill on, we call it on the walls, his ability to pull a puck off of the yellow that's on the rim or on the walls and make a play is incredible and so underrated. And for his coaches and people that watch the game in every little minute detail, his small, tight area skill with the puck is as good as I've ever coached. And that is a very underrated skill, but a very important skill in winning hockey games and has a huge impact. So that was something that I was so impressed with, his small area skill of getting pucks off the yellow. And then the other thing I would say is a lot of people, Caps fans, have seen Oshie, we call it the bumper on the power play, right? He's made a living there, scored so many big goals in that spot. And because he's done such a good job there, you know, you just think it's automatic. Well, just put another right shot right in there, and then the same thing will happen.
It's easy, right?
It's easy, yeah. I just saw Oshie make a career out of scoring from that area. But the thing that goes unnoticed is that is what he's doing in there with his hockey sense and finding position and getting his stick in a spot to where back he can get him the puck or Kuzi is a skill in itself. And it's not just something that you can replace there. So Willie picked up a lot of those things from Ocean. He was trying to share, but his ability to play the bumper is like none other that I've ever been around.
Spencer Carberry got 81 of 103 first place votes for the Jack Adams Award. The coach of the year in the National Hockey League is Danny Manchin, joining us on Grant and Danny. Two seasons now, two playoff appearances. You get to round one in year one. You get to round two in year two. Who knows what year three will have in store. Let's keep climbing, right?
Yeah.
I want to get into that in a second. But first, this was Oshie's day. You had your own day recently when you found out you'd won the Jack Adams. I got to say, it was a little dusty when I watched the video as someone with kids too. But you were in a monumental. You could tell people the story working with Joe B. Thought you were talking about the team, and then you got a surprise.
Yeah, that came as a shock. I thought I was doing an end-of-the-year interview, and I thought it was just going to be, you know, going over the season and all the highlights. And, when he sort of spun me around and started – I thought it was going to be a video on the season, so I'm thinking OV goals, big moments of us winning games, and there was it was of me on the bench of coaching, and I'm going, uh-oh, what's going on here? This is not on the script. And then turning around and seeing my family come in. And then, you know, my wife and my two little ones come in and with the Jack Adams trophy and just – and then my extended family. And that's what really blew me away, because these are people that live literally across this continent – thousands and thousands of miles. So I'm just going, how did everybody get here and come here for this moment? It was a moment my family and I will never forget.
Go through it here. Now that you guys have taken inventory of everything with this season, you and your staff, obviously pretty fantastic job. You were the coach of the year, not by accident. There are 22 voters, by the way, I'd like to have a word with. But greatest success for you guys this year as a coaching staff, and then thing that you say, you know what, after this year, here's what we want to do better next year. Give me your greatest success and something, so you know what, we're going to grind on this.
So I was really proud of, I would probably say this, because we had a tremendous start to the year. We put ourselves in a great spot, basically set ourselves up for the entire season. And the O record, as we got down the stretch, our games sort of stumbled a little bit down. And as a coach, you're going, okay, you know, we're trying to get ready for the playoffs. We'd already clinched a playoff spot, but we're also chasing a record. And O wanted the record, but his teammates wanted it just as bad. And they were trying every single night to put him in good spots and put our team in good spots to maybe get him an empty net or give him a pass on a two-on-one, and hopefully we'd get one goal closer. And so that it was hard. It was hard for our team to navigate that the highs and lows of OB getting the record and then playing the next night and playing an important game where you want to play well, you want to get 2 points, and we would stumble. And what I would say that the highlight for me was us in the first round of playoffs, because I was a little bit nervous, and we had talked about it as a group, is are we going to be able to pick up that high level of play in the first round? And we did exactly that.
Yes, yeah.
And I was really proud of our group for that. And we obviously, the second round series didn't go the way we wanted, but I thought we took a lot of lessons out of that. No one wants lessons. You want to win games. You want to win the Stanley Cup and get to the finals. But a lot of our guys playing in the second round for the first time, goes a little bit unnoticed. So there were some guys in end of the year meetings where that was new to me. That was foreign territory playing in the second round. You get to the final eight. It's realistically the eight teams that can win the Stanley Cup that all could make an argument. And I think we'll take a lot of valuable lessons from that second round series playing against Carolina.
As successful as this year was, and as much acclaim as you've gotten now as coach of the year, that was not an easy job. You guys made a lot of changes in the offseason. There were a lot of pieces to assimilate. PLD, almost to a man, all of them. You got really good production out of looking at, you know, Bevilier midstream at the trade deadline, Duhaime and Radish on the fourth line, Matt Roy defensively, LT in the cage. At every level of the ice, you guys are making these changes, and it all worked. I'm curious, Carbs, just about what that was like for you early in the year as you're getting all those pieces to come together.
Yeah, that was a significant challenge, especially early. This is more going back to the summer and pre-camp of getting to know all the new faces. And that probably was what got us off to the start, what was our ability to bring these six new players in, and they fit in so seamlessly. Like, it wasn't three guys were playing at a high level and three, it took a little while. Like, every single guy that we brought in, I felt like just hit the ground running and fit in so well with our group, from Brandon Duhaime to Pierre-Luc Dubois to Logan Thompson to Matt Roy. You just go down the list, Jacob Chychrun, all these guys just hit the ground running, and it just felt so comfortable right from training camp, them in the locker room, them understanding our system, them being able to fit in on a line and have good chemistry. And so when that happened, and Protoss, you could tell right away, took a real step in the summer and looked like a different player. Mikey, same thing. And even the guys that don't get a lot of credit, but Sandin raised his game. Marty Faye-Arvey raised his game a touch. So I think that was probably why we got off to such a great start, is you couldn't have predicted that many players, that many new faces would fit in so seamlessly with our group, which they did right from the get-go.
Hoping for another big offseason and another step forward this year for the Capitals and for Spencer Carver, a rising coaching star in the NHL. Carbs, I just heard the bell. I don't want you to miss that boat, so we're going to let you go. I don't know.
Is that the make good decisions boat?
that boat is taking off, and I'm assuming you're going to be on it at some point for the celebration tonight. So thanks for the time.
Yeah, anytime. Appreciate you guys having me on.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Good catching up. Spencer Carberry with us from out here live at the Georgetown Waterfront, the TJ Oshie celebration today as he announced his retirement. Grant and Danny with you. We got to thank the Caps.
Absolutely.
For what was a tremendous afternoon out here, and them helping us to get Osh, Carbs, and really making a fun day of this and helping our listeners to feel like they were here. They did a great job.
This is awesome. Yeah, what a great event. First class all the way. Expect nothing less.
Big thanks to Metal Chris as well as Toby in studio, our crew, Darius, Ryan, everybody a part of this broadcast. These are fun. These are special. And hopefully Caps fans who were all over the country listening on the Odyssey app got to celebrate and take part in it today. For all of us here at The Fan, Linnell's got overtime coming your way next back in our Half Street studios. Thank you for listening to the program from the Georgetown Waterfront. Thank you, TJ Oshie. We will talk to you again soon tomorrow, 2 o'clock.
Thank you for coming.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Iamsville, Maryland, so it's up the road a little bit. Actually, not far from where my father-in-law lives. But it's a wonderful charity in honor of this guy's dad who passed away from leukemia. A whole bunch of celebrity guests, Marshall Faulk, Clinton Portis, Santana Moss, Warren Sapp, and a bunch of others will be there for it. It's a great cause, but it's this weekend, Friday the 13th, in fact, at Whisker Creek Golf Course.
That's a Miami heavy influence with CP, Tana, Warren Sapp, the U is well represented. Then you get the Hall of Famer, Marshall Faulk. Let's talk to Clinton Portis, back on with us here on Grant and Danny here on the Fan. CP, great to talk to you again. How are you?
I'm good, man. How are you all?
You're great,
doing
buddy.
Very, very well. So before we get into all things football and how everything's going for you, tell us a little bit about your involvement with the Eapen Open. I know you've been there in the past.
Yeah, I think I've been doing it for about 10 years. Great cause, good turnout, nice benefit, you know, all the proceeds go to the cancer research. So it's just something I partnered with about 10 years ago, and we always have a good time and you know, a good turnout, so keep it going.
Yeah, it's supported over $100,000 to date to help support youth with disabilities and advanced blood cancer research. www.eapenopen.com for tickets and sponsorship opportunities. Who's your favorite person to play golf with?
Oh, it's some degenerates on this event. it's some real degenerates on this event. So, man, you know, it's really a good time. You know, I think when you talk to Marshall, he's always serious about golf, and like he comes to win the tournament. B. Mitch, you know, those guys come out to win the tournament. Me, I come out to make sure we play my shot every hole. We got to play at least one of my shots. And that's just, you know, like my real shot. I'm like, we're going to use my shot. And I'm going to have the best shot at some point. So for me, it's just like everybody, because you got a lot of business people that's out there and first time experience. So you're trying to make it good for them and make it fun for them. And they like, you know, this hole over here is serious. Want everybody quiet. These people over here, like running down the golf course with their shirts off. These people over here doing this. So it's just a good time, man. You know, I think everybody come out, and after all the work is done and after you raise what you raise, it's like that finale of, okay, all the work is done, let your hair down.
Clinton Portis on Grant and Danny. Last time we talked to you a couple of months back, you had just taken over as the running backs coach on the DeSean Jackson coaching staff. He is the head coach at Delaware State. You're going to be coaching RBs. I've seen you have been posting about things, the camps that you guys have had as kids are trying to get offers and things like that. So where are you guys at in your prep for the season, and how deep into the coaching career are you now as you come up on your first summer?
Man, you know, it's been awesome, actually. especially the on the field work, the hands on with the guys. That's always a great time. I think the adjustment to college sports, where you have that only so many hours you could deal with kids, especially when you get going and you know you're on the hot streak or you're rolling, and then it's like, oh, like you know we're trying to finish, make sure we're an hour or two short so nothing happens. But the on the field work, you know, it's just like reading or riding a bike. Like you think you lost it, and once you get back to it, it's like, oh, like I got it. Like, oh, now I remember how to walk this bike, or I remember how to do these tricks. So it's a good, you know, it's been good, and the kids are really receptive. They want to get better. They want to win. They want to change the culture. So being a part of that shift has been great, you know. And then in the portal, I think we won in the portal. We got a lot of kids that could have went bigger schools, that could have went elsewhere, that bought into what we were preaching and giving us the opportunity or helping us grow with them. So that's been dope. So, you know, on the 23rd, we get to get everybody in for the first time. You know, the kids we got out of the portal, the kids we signed from high school, everybody will be here at one time, like the workouts, everything, and you get to see your full, like, everything in motion. So up to this point, we haven't. It's just been kind of what we were, you know, dealt. And the development of those kids have been, like, so exciting and so enjoyable that we're looking forward to our first class.
Clinton Portis with us here on Grant and Danny. So I picked 10 years, kind of a nice round number. Clinton, I went back, and there were 10 players 10 years ago, 10 running backs, who accumulated 900-plus rushing yards. 10. So I picked 900 because it's like a regular starter who might have missed a game or two, something like that. So, you know, a pretty big number, a 1,000-yard type back, but there were 10 guys. This past year, there were 22. All of a sudden, it seems like the running game is not only back, but it's big back. It's like everybody's doing it again to counter maybe what defense are doing. What have you seen big picture in the NFL over the last decade, and why is that, do you think?
Well, I think the realization of how important the running back position always has been is just kind of back. Then you see the teams that go and win the Super Bowls. You look at Kansas City, you look at the Eagles this year, the backs that they've had, the people that compete in the later months, you know, in the football months, all have a running back. And the teams that's normally throwing the ball around and put up all these stats are sitting home watching TV. So the realization of the Saquon Barkley of the world and how effective he was makes everybody. It's always a copycat league. And when you look at it, the Chiefs started something. And then it was like, oh, Patrick Mahomes don't have the receivers, so they won with the running back. But Patrick Mahomes did everything he could possibly do to help that running back out. And now when you look at the shift, you look at the Eagles and them having a running back, you know, carry them to that point. So it's just one of those, the attention is finally back on the running back position. You realize, okay, these quarterbacks, maybe it's a good 10 quarterbacks in the league, but all 32 of us don't have top tier quarterbacks. So you're starting to play team ball again. And it's exciting because you want to see the running back position. You want to see the tight end position. I wish more teams would get a fullback. And that's what I'm shooting for here. Like, I need a fullback. I came from a fullback era, and I want to see what this collision is going to be like when a linebacker is 205 or 220, and I got a fullback that's coming downhill. You're going to get tired of filling that hole when we're running power, you know? So I think that would be a major advantage for us to have, and hopefully one of our guys pop up and we could actually use it.
Clinton Portis, one of the best backs of his era, helped carry the then Redskins to the playoffs on multiple occasions, joins us on Grant and Danny. What have you thought about Brian Robinson to this point? You know, there were a lot of folks, I think, early on, because he had such a great first training camp and preseason, that thought maybe he'd be a bell cow for years to come. And he's got the average now up over 4 yards per carry. But 3 years in, a lot of us are kind of ready to see something else, some speed, somebody who can hit home runs. What's your take on B-Rob and maybe why he hasn't been able to become a real impact guy?
I mean, the way I look at B-Rob is just maybe the wear and tear from college or looking at him last year, the short yardage, and he's always kind of like turning his shoulders. You know, his shoulders are to the sideline. Most backs, the top backs that you see, the Derrick Henrys, the Saquon Barkleys, those guys are going to finish, you know, facing the goal line. His shoulders are always going to be going towards the goal line. So for B-Rob, you know, I think it's like the mentality of a big play, but you're not really making the big plays. You know, every play you want to be a home run, and you got to get down on those, you know, third and seven, and you pick up 6 yards instead of putting your shoulder down and just bulldozing over. You know, I think he has to get that that part of his game correct. I'm kind of thinking he was banged up last year, and it just haven't been said, or it wasn't a complaint, or I'm not sure if he had a off-season surgery or something. But to me, it just kind of seemed like he dodged a lot of contact or didn't come through with the emphasis on his runs, like finishing his runs. But it's always a league where you're going to bring in people and your replacement could already be on the team. You know, everybody behind you is just waiting on that opportunity to have a breakout game or waiting on you to get hurt. And you got to kind of be on point. You know, you got to be ready, come in and compete. You know, it's the off season. Get yourself together and don't worry about what happened last year. Come in, focus. I think they're building a good nucleus of players, and you have a leader in five, and, you know, hopefully everything get worked out with Terry. So you have two leaders over there, Ertz, you know. So you got players. It's just a matter of you coming in and getting your stuff together and making sure you contribute.
Clinton, if you were to design a running back kind of in a lab to fit with Jaden Daniels and this Cliff Kingsbury offense, like, what kind of player should it be? And do they have that kind of player on the roster?
Nah, I would be looking to see if Saquon want to leave the Philly.
That'd be nice.
Or drive right up the street. You know what I actually said earlier was, you know, going to get Cleveland running back, going to get Nick Chubb. You know, I thought bringing in Nick Chubb would be huge, because if he can return to form, you got to steal. You know, it's kind of like how teams were with Derrick Henry, and you're like, oh, okay, maybe he's done, maybe he's not. And he showed you, like, he's nowhere close to being done. So I thought that would have been huge for us to go out and get Henry, especially with some of the moves they had already made in the offseason. It would have been a great addition to the team. But coming off of those knee surgeries, it's hard to say, like, he's going to return to form. But to go out and find a back, you know, looking at a guy like James Cook or Saquon or Aaron Jones, you know, those guys that can kind of do everything, that's getting it done and making plays, you want them. I see J.K. Dobbins just went to the Broncos. You know, if you could keep him healthy, especially when you're in a two-back system, you know, you're looking for guys like that that, like, has the potential to be special but maybe haven't took it over the top yet.
Clinton Portis on Grant and Danny with us here on The Fan. Terry McLaurin wasn't at minicamp today. He's working out a contract still and at odds with the team over the numbers. I don't even remember from when I was covering you when I was still on the beat. Did you ever miss minicamps over contract stuff? And what's your general philosophy on that part of the business?
No, I didn't. The time that, you know, it could have been possible that I didn't even know the business of football when they asked me about mini camp and coming to camp and being around for the off season, I ended up getting traded for Champ Bailey. So other than that, I was never in the position to be at, you know, a holdout or upset with my contract. So I never had to miss mini camp, and it was kind of like always looking forward, because that's where you start to get back in shape. You know, the emphasis of off season kind of started with us. It wasn't as demanding. I mean, it wasn't as prominent as it is now. It kind of started with us, and, you know, guys were coming in shape. But that's where you use, and we always had a new OC, so we were learning, you know. it was hard to get repeat offense. So we were always learning. So we had to be around for training camp and mini camp.
Glenn, this is a real pleasure, man. Enjoy the weekend. It's eapenopen.com. That's EAPENopen.com for tickets, sponsorship opportunities. It's a great cause. Celebrity guests, Marshall Faulk, Clinton Portis, Santana Moss, Warren Sapp, and others. A Whisker Creek golf course this Friday in Iamsville, Maryland. Really appreciate the time, buddy.
Hey, man, I'm still waiting on y'all to walk in Taco Chino's. I've been looking for y'all.
It's happening. It's going to happen. It's only a matter of time.
For y'all. I'm just saying, I've been looking for y'all. That's why I'm going to give you your gear, all right?
Hey,
so let me know when y'all are
I was going to say, I'm going to walk in there when I get my Delaware State Hornets hat.
Hey, that's where I'm going to deliver. It's going to be a fair exchange.
Okay. Love it. This is like some movie. Like, I'll blink my lights twice and then get out, and you got to bring the duffel
middle back. Of the desert, casino style?
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Blow all the right. horn twice, let me know it's you outside.
Love it.
All right, I'll text you. There's Clinton See Portis you, with us on Grant and Danny. Here on The Fan, always fun, always good to have him on the show. I do think their gear is fire. They've got, like, the Red Hornet hat. Are you familiar with the Delaware State?
I looked when the announcement was made, we had him on. Yeah, let me see.
I think I would look good in that hat. But I guess we got to go. If he's going to give it to us there, we got to make it happen. We are pleased right now to go to the Rude guest hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV, to talk to one of the great running backs of my lifetime and one of the best to ever do it, a Hall of Famer who's a three-time All-Pro and a seven-time Pro Bowler. Marshall Faulk is with us on Grant and Danny. Marshall, you're on in the DMV. Thanks for a few minutes. How are you?
What's going on, guys? What's going on?
Pleasure to have you. And I know this weekend, we talked to Clinton Portis about this yesterday, but you're at the Eapen Open, EAPENopen.com for tickets, sponsorship opportunities, founded to help battle leukemia and lymphoma society, so kids can soar, a whole bunch of wonderful causes kind of tied into one. I know you've been tied to this tournament for a number of years. What drew you to it?
Well, just the work that they do. And a lot of times, you know, when we were kids or when we have kids, we don't think about the things that happen to kids who grow up or whom are born with these issues. And, you know, we got to think about them. And using my likeness, my name and my likeness to raise money to give these kids a chance at a better life, better quality of life. It's easy to do. Very easy to do.
Well, it's admirable that you're doing it. And again, it's the Eapen Open, and for people who want more information, they can check out the site, eapenopen.com. Marshall Faulk is with us on Grant and Danny. Marshall, to say that you came early or maybe at a an era, maybe one ahead of where you would have been best used, is probably flawed because you had one of the great careers ever.
You did just fine, yeah.
But I think about all the time. You had a stretch of five straight years where you caught 80 or more passes. And you could educate me better. I remember like Charlie Garner and a couple guys, maybe others that were heavily involved in the passing game. But I just wonder nowadays with the check down no longer being a pejorative and teams liking to move the ball, throw into the running backs, like what some of those numbers could look like for you. Was it in vogue at all? Was it happening in other places when you started being one of the best receivers as a running back?
I mean, I don't want to make it seem like I was the first to do it. I probably took it to another level. Guys like Ronnie Harmon, Thurman Thomas, James Brooks, and the guy who deserved to be in the Hall of Fame for sure, Roger Craig, they did it. I mean, they did it. But the way that I did it and then moving me out as a receiver, those were the things that kind of separated how I did it. And I believe now, you know, you look at the position – and the position has changed. You either have a bunch of backs to do a different things, or you have a back who can do everything. And for a minute, we kind of got lost and thought that the back who did everything was gone. And then Saquon Barkley reminded us, like, oh, that's what it looks like. There it is right there. So happy for him that he did what he did. And happy for the position, even Derrick Henry. And then watch the teams pay the guys as well.
Yeah, what have you made of that, of the kind of the fall off where the running back position became borderline expendable, Marshall, to now it seems to be we're in the middle of a renaissance where everyone's going, oh, that's right, if you have a back like a couple of those guys you mentioned, it really can make a huge difference. What have you made of that entire phenomenon?
Listen, in football, they'll find a way to try to phase you out. and if you give them a reason to, then they'll do it even more so. And the position became that because, you know, guys didn't take it as serious. They didn't want to be every down backs. They got into the, you know, they wanted to save themselves and they didn't want to do this and didn't want to do that. And it became bad for the position. And what happens when that happens is they try to find a way to do it without you. And so a lot of guys found themselves in bad situations where teams wouldn't pay them. They started letting back to go. And we saw the landscape of what it started to look like. The position looked extinct. But now we got some guys on the rise and some young guys coming in. Ashton Genty showed us, like, you put the numbers up, that's what they'll do. They'll pay you. And the position is back to where it is. And let me tell you guys this. Look, you know this. Quarterback throws the ball. It looks all fancy. But when you get to playoff football and you get to the Super Bowl, we always talk about the team who runs the ball is going to win. It always happens.
Well, I look at the MVP voting last year, and Josh Allen ended up running away with it. Saquon Barkley finished third. I mean, people forget Lamar, head and shoulders better, and he didn't get a first-place vote. He got one second-place vote. It was basically mostly third through fifth-place votes for Saquon Barkley, who, had he not have chosen not to in the final week, would have broken the rushing record, 2,000 yards, put the Eagles on his back, best team in the conference. And I ask you this as a former MVP, have we seen the end of even a running back being allowed, maybe isn't the right word, to win MVP? Like the year before, remember with McCaffrey, everyone was like, oh, it can't be him, no way. Isn't the running back ever going to win that award again, you think?
Oh, most definitely. I believe so. I don't want to take anything away from Josh and what he has done. But, man, the guy was so close so many times. And it almost felt like just for the sake of the Buffalo Bills, like, man, they had to win something. You know, like you just keep getting there. Patrick Mahomes keep knocking you off. You have to win something. And here's the thing. When you look at the numbers between Josh and Lamar, I mean, they look very similar.
Right.
You know, they look very similar. It's just they decided that Josh deserved it more. And that's when it comes to that award, when you start to look at, you know, who deserves it, it's an award. And people get to make that decision. So
I Saquon goes for 2,000 yards and did something we hadn't really seen. And it felt like even at the end of the season, he was not really
in
the running.
There's seven quarterbacks ahead of him. Yeah.
It's just like, what does a guy have to do at that position? Nowadays, they're like, oh, you're the offensive player of the year. And the MVP seems to be the best quarterback award.
Yeah, we've created the league that we have.
Yeah.
And that's all we could do as running backs is play in it. Unfortunately for Saquon and all the other running backs, you know, you go out, you don't make MVP a priority. You make winning the Super Bowl a priority, and I believe that's what these guys are going to do because when you look at the landscape of the league has created how we have it. You protect the quarterback the way you protect him. I mean, you damn near can't hit a quarterback if he pretends to slide, and if he don't slide, you give up another 10 yards. What happens there? They've made this league a passing league because if you don't have a quarterback, you can't sell tickets.
Marshall Faulk with us here on Grant and Danny. Marshall, going back to your career, as prolific as you were, forgive me my inability to remember all of this, but did you run out of the gun ever or a lot?
Yes, maybe once in a while.
What do you make of that now? That's kind of the new paradigm, right? Because obviously with a guy like Jaden Daniels or Lamar Jackson, you want to take advantage of the bind it puts the defense in. How much harder is that, and how different is that for a running back to be able to kind of get that same momentum and the read and the like?
No, I think it's tough, it's challenging, but when you have a quarterback in the likes of a Lamar or a Josh, the element of playing –
11-on-11 football, it exists.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to present it, and you need to make, because defenses are good, man. You want to make them work hard, and this creates that.
Yeah, because to your point, when you're going from under, you know, Warner's under center or whoever, and you're deep in the backfield, it's 10 against 11, really, because the quarterback can't help you. So now you're just even the playing field.
Exactly. There you go. There you go. And now you make one guy miss, and you got a touchdown.
Marshall Faulks with us on Grant and Danny. You mentioned Ashton Jeanty. I don't know how closely you followed this, but the quick cliff notes would be, he had this, I forget what he called it, but he had this style where he stood straight up, and it wasn't something that we'd seen anybody do in the NFL before the snap. And basically, obviously, he goes and runs for 2,600 yards and 29 touchdowns, and he gets picked at the top of the board. And right away as he's drafted, he's told by Pete Carroll and company, you got to get in the stance that we want you to. You're not doing the straight-up thing anymore. Would you let a guy kind of be himself, or are you more along the lines of the stuff that worked for you, you know, for Boise State was cute, but here's how we do it in the league?
You know, it's crazy and asinine that we're having this conversation. You know, and if you remember, a quarterback that ran the football couldn't play in the NFL as well. You know, and I feel bad for Pete at the age of whatever he is, that he thinks the stands make a back. And just because cosmetically he needed to look the way he wanted to look is the problem why coaches get left behind. And probably why he's in Vegas instead of Seattle. We need to focus on what wins games instead of what things look like.
Is there a team that you're kind of looking at coming into this season where you go, watch out for this group? And we have that worst to first thing every year. It seems like there's like a different NFC South champion almost every other season. It seems like in that kind of the normal phenomenon. Is there a team that you've kind of got circled where you're, you know, kind of siding up to people at parties going, watch out for this group?
This is not because we're on this call, but it's because of what they looked like last year. And I think it's the Commanders, man. Like I really like the moves that they made. I like how they played last year, and it was just they really surprised a lot of people. And you know, Jaden, man, I was just impressed at how poised he was, even in the loss in the playoffs. Just the things that he was able to do. I believe it's changed the mindset of what people think about young quarterbacks now when they come into the league.
Yeah, we hadn't seen anything like it. Marshall Faulk, Hall of Famer. Last one for me, Marshall. You know, you talked a little bit about the moving back to the run and the fact that, you know, it's such a pass-heavy league now based on kind of the dictation from the top down. As you watch the game now, like if you were, whether it's calling plays or coaching, maybe it's along the lines of what we were just talking about with Pete, what are some of the things you would look to bring with you and kind of change about the trends in the NFL and or what isn't being taken advantage of enough, in your opinion?
Let's say everything is being taken advantage of, but I would literally give the defense a better chance. You know, I would this defenseless receiver stuff, this overprotection of the quarterback, it's gone too far to where, as a defensive guy, I really don't know how you're supposed to play defense. I don't know what you're supposed to do. If it's a running quarterback, they get more liberties. If you watch the quarterbacks that are athletic, you hit them in the head, you do certain things to them, they don't call the flag. But you give me a pocket passer, you touch him, and all the flags fly. I just don't like it. Like we need to treat the quarterback like he plays football, like the rest of us, and allow him to play tackle. And you don't have to get a note from his mom, nor do you have to put a light on his head when you touch him. He's down. Like, let him play football.
The great Marshall Faulk, kind enough to join us here. The Eapen Open this Friday at Whisker Creek Golf Course in Iamsville, Maryland, hosted by Marshall Faulk, Clinton Portis, Santana Moss, Warren Sapp, and more. 21st year of existence, raises funds for So Kids Soar and the Leukemia Lymphoma Society. Raised over $100,000 to support youth with disabilities and advanced blood cancer research. Go to eapenopen.com, EAPEN, open. Marshallhall.com for tickets and sponsorship opportunities. Marshall, this is a treat, man. Thank you.
All good. Y'all have a good one.
We appreciate you. That was a pleasure. Marshall Faulk, I will stack up his run from 97 to 2002.
He was so great.
6 years of Marshall Faulk against just about any 6-year stretch for any running back. When he was averaging 80 plus catches, but he was also going for 1,200 or 1,300 yards on the ground during that time. That was as big a heater. He was an All-Pro 3 times in a row during that stretch. He was a Pro Bowler throughout, but he won MVP once. He was a runner-up for MVP 2 other times. He was in the top 5 in MVP, I think, all 5 of those years. That was Colts into Rams right at the turn of the millennium. That was the greatest show on turf. Kurt Warner, Oz Hakeem, weird to say him next, but Isaac Bruce, Torrey Holt, Oz Hakeem, like that whole group, that was my squad. Yeah, that was everybody's squad.
The end of his time in Indianapolis in 98, right, where you go 1,320 on the ground and 900 in the air, right, with 80-plus receptions, they went, oh, that seems like we found something. And then that just was his norm for the next several seasons in St. Louis.
How different does it feel in year two, like not learning the playbook, but knowing it and just kind of advancing?
Yeah, it's a lot. You know, there's a lot that goes into your rookie year, on and off the field, just moving, getting used to everything, getting the flow. And it's nice this year to just not have to ask about everything. Of, hey, what's this going to be like? You kind of know what to prepare for and what to look for.
Does it feel like stuff's moving faster for you? Or?
Probably moving slower, if anything, you know, just trying to kind of hone in and be under control and have fun doing it.
The voice of Luke McCaffrey. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. We are looking at some of the draft picks from a year ago going into their second seasons who didn't do a ton last year, trying to figure out where the biggest leap and the most growth is going to come for the Commanders. So we looked at Jordan McGee. We have also now talked about Ben Sinnott. McCaffrey's interesting because he actually early in the year played a lot and had some targets and catches, and they went away as the year went on. 24 years old, third-round pick, 6'2", 200, 18 grabs for about 170 yards, and the advanced numbers on him getting open, as we always talk about, were pretty good, even though the usage and the target share and all that stuff was low. But the path for him is you're seeing it open in front of your eyes.
Yeah.
McLaurin's not at camp yet. He'll eventually be here, and he'll be the number one. Debo is oft injured and also not a traditional wide receiver. He's going to move around slot, outside, backfield. He'll be everywhere. You've got a rookie in Jalen Lane. There's a learning curve. Just ask Luke McCaffrey. Noah Brown just got hurt, who definitely would have been above him on the depth chart. Who knows how serious that is, but it didn't look good. With each day that passes right now, the Luke McCaffrey business is booming, I'd say.
Yeah, you're competing with K.J. Osborne, Jalen Lane, whom you mentioned, an off-injured Michael Gallup, speaking of that. I mean, there is a path to the second receiver opposite Terry McLaurin. Again, you always have to put an asterisk in there because Deebo Samuel's getting targets. Some of those are pop passes, screens, working underneath, the occasional something downfield, trick play, whatever. He's getting touches. I'm not saying he's not. He's going to get a lot. A lot of those that were Crowder, Zaccheaus, Deami Brown, etc. But your second traditional receiver role in an offense where that's probably the fifth place in terms of who's got to eat, that could be McCaffrey. That means more than 18 targets. Or 18 catches, rather.
That leaves the big guys. Just two, one on each side of the ball here. Offensive and defensive line. On the D-line, Johnny Newton, who I still think has the highest ceiling of all these players in terms of just what he's eventually going to become. I think Newton could end up making a Pro Bowl as a defensive tackle. I don't really see any of these other guys necessarily on that level. But Newton at 22, very, very young. I think that's an important factor here. He's basically 21 last football season. 36th pick in the draft, was the highest drafted of all of them. Oh, by the way. 6'3", 295, ended up with 2 sacks and 6 TFLs. This is my answer. I think Johnny Newton, if he's used in a way where he's allowed to rush the quarterback, and I think that's probably what's going to happen, they bring in big, girthy, heavy, weighty, smart cars, Kinlaw, Goldman, and they go, you eat space. Johnny Newton, Daron Payne, you guys go get the quarterback. And I think Newton could really push the pocket, collapse some things from the inside out, be a pass rusher, show some of the stuff he showed at Illinois. So this is going to be my answer for the biggest leap. I think he's going to be a really, really good football player for them this season. Now, he had the most opportunity last year. So it's not like Sinnott, who didn't get to play, and then Mite, or McCaffrey, who plays a lot more, or McGee, who didn't play at all and now does. All those guys are going to get – the opportunity is going to spike way heavier, I think, than Newton's. But he's still going to go from part of a rotation to a way more important part of the rotation without Allen and with these other guys who I think are more traditional run stuffer, beefy guys than him. Like, if you look at D tackles that can rush the quarterback, him and Payne are way separated on the depth chart than the other guys, in my opinion.
I think that's fair. I'm much lower on him than you are. I think he's part of the rotation. I think he'll still be a part of the rotation. Slightly bigger part maybe this year. No John Allen, but we were without John Allen a lot last year. But it's reasonable that he would grow in that role, maybe be freed up to do more of what he's good at as opposed to having to do everything.
So when you say you're lower on him than me, what you just explained is exactly what I think too, other than you're saying you don't see him as eventually a Pro Bowler.
No, okay. I think he's part of a crew of guys. I think he's pretty good, but I don't see the same level of greatness.
I think he's going to be super disruptive and a really, really good, like, pass rushing D tackle.
I hope that's correct, by the way, because that all of a sudden makes a lot of these things click in a way that they're not now, where I'm going, this is the big investment. We're going Javon Kinlaw and Dietrich Wise and Eddie Goldman and But if he's dynamic, then it makes those other pieces make sense.
They brought in size guys to stop the run, which I'm hoping frees him up a little bit to just get up the field. Mm-hmm. I think that's why you draft him 36. What about Brandon Coleman? Coleman played 73% of snaps last year as their left tackle. And on record, on a podcast this week, we were able to figure out via Quinn that Coleman will be the starting left guard. We knew they were going to move him inside. We weren't sure exactly what position. But at 24, third-round pick, 67th overall last year, he played left tackle. They're keeping him on the left side. They're kicking him inside to guard. They're going to set it and forget it and just tell him, that's your spot. Play there every down. I think he could be a really good guard.
I'm pretty sure
like
of it.
Like Cosme-esque in the sense of he actually was better at tackle maybe than Cosme was to start his career. And then you kick Cosme in, who's like a bigger guy, and ask him to do a little bit less in space. And how much better did he get quickly? Why couldn't that same thing happen with Brandon Coleman?
So to me, I think he's going to be the quote-unquote best player of this group, but not make the biggest leap. So it's my same argument against why we didn't include Mikey Sanders still. Already pretty good. I think Brandon Coleman's already pretty good. Showed really well as a rookie left tackle. You know, there are some things you'd like to improve upon, and they decided it was worth getting a marquee left tackle to improve upon those things instead of waiting for Coleman to develop. But I think he's going to be a really good left guard, and he was already a pretty good left tackle. So let's say he went from a 6, and I think he's going to an 8. That difference, to me, is less than the difference between Jordan McGee, who barely played, who's going to go to a 6. I think he's going from 0 to 6.
So your answer, biggest leap, year 2, draft class, is
McGee. I think it's Jordan McGee. I think the opportunity is there for him.
I'm going to say, I guess, Newton, because I think he could end up being one of the better players on the defense if some things click. But Ben Sinnott's the safe answer. I just don't trust that Ertz is going to play 16 games.
I don't either.
Like, it could easily be an 8-game season for Zach Ertz.
That was more the norm over the last several seasons.
Right.
Yeah.
And if that happens, Ben Sinnott's going to get a ton of targets.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to go from, is he still on the team? What's going on with him? Where is he? To every week it's 4 for 45, you know, 5 for 50. And you look up at the end of the year and he caught 60 balls or whatever. Let's go to Sean in Falls Church. How are you, Sean?
Doing well, guys. I appreciate you taking my call.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah. So I think that for me, I think it's because of the positional change that Coleman is going to take, it's a different jump. It's a jump from one position to another. And so I think that that's kind of, it's an opening for him. You're not doing as much. You're not expected as much, even in your first year. And you've got a guy that you can trust to the left of you who is one of the best left tackles in the game. I think that if Noah Brown ends up being out, I think Luke McCaffrey is also in discussion. But for me, I think it really is Coleman, and it's purely because of the positional change. I think Sinnott could be great. Ertz, you know, could go down. But right now, on this day, with Ertz being healthy, for me, it's Coleman.
Appreciate you, dude. Yeah, I mean, it all depends on how you view the question as well, to me. Like, if that's the criteria, Coleman's going to start. We know that. The other guys were like, if this happens, he could fill in,
or he's part of the rotation. Most, maybe.
Yeah.
Or Newton better help the most because they're going to play the most.
Yeah. So my answer is the most snaps here are going to Coleman, right? Newton's part of rotation. He's going to be a huge part of it. But
Coleman should play 100% if he's healthy.
And that's kind of my point here. So that's why I think he's the quote unquote best player of the group. But if we're talking about the leap, it depends on how you see it.
Vince and Akakeek, you're on the Fan. What's up?
What's up, guys?
Hey, man.
Real quick, happy Father's Day to God this weekend.
Oh, thanks, buddy. Appreciate you.
So my thing is this. I don't know who's going to take the biggest jump, but I've been saying this since the end of last season. I need everybody to take the biggest jump. Anybody that was drafted last year, Jaden Daniels included. The success of this team, the mark of Adam Peters is supposed to be that he finds his gems in every round outside of round one. Because honestly, his round one gems weren't always the best hitters. But he's made his mark because 2 through 7, he found all pros. So if the benchmark is the greatest jump for the next guy, I heard Danny say an 8. Then if the top guy's an 8, the next guy needs to be a 7.8. A 7.9, 7.6. Everybody needs to make a quantum leap jump for year two for this team to be successful. Like, we've made all this fuss about we were ready to play right now. If we didn't draft anybody, the team is ready to go anytime, anywhere, anyplace. That comes from everybody who we drafted last year making I'm ready to be a pro right now this year in year two. That's how I see it.
Appreciate you, buddy.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks very much. Yeah, look, if they're going to repeat last season, with a harder schedule, playing a more ominous quarterback schedule and better teams, they're going to have to be better than they were last year. If you're the exact same level of good, which was really good, by
right,
the way.
It was, yeah.
But this is just basic how it works. This is common sense. If you're the exact same and you're playing better teams, then you're going to be worse. So they have to improve just to sustain. You have to improve a lot to actually improve. And that is the concern, fear, what have you. There's a very real chance of regression. I actually think when you look at this team on paper, this is not an above 500 roster, in my opinion. This is a 7, 8, 9 win roster, depending on how healthy you are and you get a couple of bounces, with a quarterback that might be unique and special and an MVP candidate. And so if Jaden Daniels is exceptional and he has this remarkable year, then he might make the 8-win team a 12-win team. Like that, we kind of saw that to an extent last year.
Indeed.
Very, very possible. But there's a lot on his plate, man. I mean, he doesn't really have much margin for error in the sense of if there's more talent around him and he just got to be a distributor and it's okay, the defense will make you right. When you have a bad game, they'll steal a game for you. I don't think that's the build here.
I don't either.
He's got to be great and they have to be better just to get back to where they were.
Different paths to come to the same conclusion. You think about the previous regime, how bad a job they did stacking talent. So you've got to hit on a higher. You got to hit no matter what organization you're in. If you got a $80 million quarterback or a rookie deal, you got to hit on draft picks. I mean, that to Vince's point, to yours, that's obvious. That's intuitive. The point I would make here, though, now is the previous failures of Rivera and company put that much more of a premium on if you want success. Like if you hit at a normal rate, you don't get to go 12-5 the previous season. You win 8 and then maybe you jump up to 10. They're now in a position where the expectations are so high. You don't have other solutions. So you have a small allotment of picks, and you've got to hit on a higher percentage just to keep up with everybody as they're improving, right? Just because, again, what happened before.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.